All right. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the coming of the Lord. Amen. In verse 13, get these. This table's too low, so I had to put these on. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he's talking about those who have died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen. Amen. That's a powerful rendition. This is the Apostle Paul talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when that's going to be a sudden occurrence. Amen. Things happen in this world suddenly, don't they? And you can't be prepared prepared for a baby coming, because you've been seeing the baby coming for 9 months. You can be prepared for your birthday because it happened last year and it's happening this year, next year. And so all of these things, there are things you can expect, and they just kind of are on a timeline, and you know they're coming, and you have time to buy the gift and the card and the flowers. You know, Christmas is coming. Well, you have time to buy all the stuff you need to buy. But the coming of the Lord is not like that. The coming of the Lord Jesus is sudden. Changes in kingdoms come suddenly, don't they? Changes in kingdoms and rulers. Now, granted, you know, you can say, okay, well, you know, here in the United States, you can count on changes in leadership and rulership because of elections, and you can see them, that they've been coming. And you know there's an election next year in March, and then you know there's a general election in November, and you're used to peaceful transitions of power, aren't you? Yeah. Aren't you used to that? But in the world generally, kingdoms change in a moment. Kingdoms change quickly. Amen? Like they did when Cuba was taken over by Castro. They planned it in the dark. You know, they planned it in secret. And then one day, they decided, today's our day. Today we move. And everything has changed in a moment. So we want to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. You want to be prepared for His coming. Are you prepared today? Sure. He's coming today. He could come today. The reason I say that, now there's a lot of places in Scripture and a lot of scriptural teachers who say, well, this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, so y'all don't need to worry about Jesus coming today. Well, you know what? People interpret Scripture lots of different ways. People look at the scripture and they think they've got it. I think I've got it. You know, there was a guy who wrote a book back in 1988, Jack, and why Jesus is coming in 1988. Amen. You remember that book? I don't know if Dan remembers that book. Then the next year, he wrote a book, Why Jesus Was Coming in 89. Same guy. Well, you know, and you know, Martin Luther thought Jesus was coming. Martin Luther was ready for Jesus to come. Paul, you know, if you read the scripture, Paul was ready for Jesus to come, wasn't he? You know, Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming when Paul was around and Luther was around in 88 and 89 when that guy was writing books. You know, Jesus was coming because people don't know everything. People don't know when. Jesus said it. He said, I don't even know. The angels in heaven don't know. I mean, you know, it's unlikely that he didn't say it this way, but it's unlikely that you're going to know when Jesus is coming. You know, well, this has all got to happen. The temple's got to be rebuilt. Well, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you read that sideways. Maybe you don't know everything. What I'm trying to tell you is that be ready today for Jesus to come. He could come today. He could come anytime. Come this afternoon. Come before lunch. He could. Amen. So I'm ready for Jesus to come. Amen. I don't have to have anything else happen in my life. You know, I did back in when I was a teenager. You know, Pastor Jim was around. You know, when I was a little kid, when I was a young person, he came to our church. He came to our church. That was his first real job. When I say real job, I mean, you know, he'd been an associate pastor up in Buffalo, New York. He'd been an intern out in Seattle, Washington, you know, for a year and a year. You know, and he was there about a year, and then the pastor died up there. And he was kind of stood up to the plate and ready to be installed as the new pastor. He was 29. The old pastor, the former pastor, was 80, like 82. And they took a look at him. He'd been their youth leader for about 1 year, and they said, well, I don't think you're quite ready for this. Or we're not quite ready for you. So he had to go out and find a new place to minister, and we accepted him down here in Texas. So he was down here, and when he met the Lord, you know, we started getting transformed and changed. Amen. As young people, we started hearing about Jesus in the Lutheran church. Go figure. You know, of course, you know, Luther believed in Jesus. Of course, the Lutheran church had changed substantially since the 1500s until the 1970s. And so Jim began to teach us all these things. And we were waiting on the Lord to come, you know. And we knew that he could come any day. Amen. I had something bigger and better to share with that, but I got off into too much history. So, but it was time. But in these days, we want to be prepared for Jesus to come. I mean, we had many prophetic teachers back then, probably more so than, it doesn't seem like we have as many prophetic teachers today. We had a lot of prophetic teachers back in the 70s and 80s. You know, Jesus was kind of, like I said, that 88, 89 guy. So all of that to say, Jesus is coming soon, so you want to be prepared. And so we are, so be prepared for any day, you know. Amen. There was only, you know, Jesus, or there was a song, I think, by Bill Gaither. I just feel like something good's about to happen, and it just could happen any day. Amen. So he says here that, but I would not have you ignorant. So in other words, he wants people to understand what the next step is here, is while he's teaching them to persevere and just to walk with the Lord. He says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So those people who are dead already, who've believed in Jesus, they were believing for the coming of the Lord, and they've died ahead of time, like my father-in-law just died, right? He just went to be with the Lord, you know. Carl's with the Lord. He'd received the Lord shortly before he died. We're going to see him again. And that's it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to see him again. He's asleep. He is asleep. He went to sleep. That you sorrow not concerning those who are asleep, even as others who do sorrow a lot because they have no hope. There's many people who have died, and you tried to tell them about Jesus, and you know, unless they made some deathbed confession or some confession of the Lord just as they were slipping out of their body, you know, brother, that's too late. I don't know what's too late. You don't know what's too late either. Only God knows what that person said right as they were fixing to go. So don't lose hope even for those, you know. That you sorrow not even as those who... So don't sorrow about people who have gone to sleep too much. Especially if they know the Lord. Do not mourn. Lead people in joy, okay? Lead your family members in joy, you know. Especially for those who have gone on to be with the Lord. We rejoice and we celebrate the life of those who have gone to be with the Lord. Even if they met the Lord at the last hour. We pray for that. We encourage one another. He says, you know, down at the bottom, it says, comfort you one another with these words. For if we believe, so here's the reasoning behind this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus. So Jesus died and rose again. Even those who sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? Well, they're coming together with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, so we're bumping along, having a good time, we're preaching Jesus, we're just being here ready for Jesus to come. We that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, we will not precede them which are asleep. So here's how it happens. The Lord will descend from heaven, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise when? First. So you don't go first, they go first. So they'll rise first. You know, you can read it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It talks about how you get a new body. We're not going to read that today, but you can read it. And then after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. Going to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. From that moment, we will be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. Let's turn and look over at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 27. He says, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How fast is that? Huh? That's pretty cool. What was that? You know, when there's lightning happens, don't you just kind of look up and all of a sudden, that's kind of the point, right? Is look up. Is that lightning comes. As the lightning comes out of the east into the west, so shall. Just like that. Just like a lightning bolt. You don't have to wait. I don't know if y'all are like me, but when lightning starts, you just kind of start sitting down and just kind of watching the sky. You only like to see it. If it's not scary lightning, maybe it's, you know, over there, you know, ways, and you're expecting the rain. So you're sitting there and don't you enjoy just watching it kind of happen? This is the majesty of God, you know? Well, once that first one hit, you don't need any more. Because if Jesus is coming, that's how he comes. Like that first one. You know what? Every person could be gone. Every person who is alive in Jesus could be gone. Because in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's when you'll be changed.
At the last trump.
At the last trump.
Amen.
That's right, with a shout.
Yes.
What was that? Was that thunder? He's coming, people. Hallelujah. You know, we forget to, sometimes we don't preach this as often as we probably should. That Jesus is coming, and he's coming what? Suddenly. Suddenly. He's coming suddenly. Praise the Lord. Somebody made up a messenger, had a message about the suddenlies of God. The suddenly things. God does things suddenly. You know, God said, let there be light. You know, it didn't wait till next morning, did it? Huh? He didn't wait till next morning. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen? Now, maybe man took a little more time because he said he formed him, you know. He formed him out of the dust, you know. But I mean, those animals popped up, the light popped up, you know, when he said, let there be a couple of light in the heavens. Do you realize that light came before the sun and the moon? Sun and the moon are off about the third or fourth day. The sun, the actual sun and the moon. Well, where'd the light come from?
Jesus.
Thank you. So let there be light. So Jesus just stepped onto the stage so God could see the rest of it. Hey, Jesus, come over here. Come over here. Come over here so I can see what I'm doing. So Jesus stepped onto the stage of the world, and God began to speak those things that be not as though they are. And they were. And they became real. Amen. Everything he spoke. So we're preaching. You got to preach about Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west that fast, so shall also the Son of the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is there together, the eagles will be gathered together. We'll preach about that some other time. Verse 37. Verse 37, he says, but as the days of Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What about that? Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Hope you like the Bible.
So the coming of the Lord and the day of the Lord are formed
the same. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. The day of the Lord.
Uh-oh.
Are we having an argument out there? I'm not settling any arguments. I'm hearing groaning and praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the Lord is coming. Amen. Now, is there a judgment after that? There's a judgment after that. Yes. So the day of the Lord. Now, but Jesus is coming before wrath. Before wrath, because the children of God are not appointed to wrath. So Jesus will come and take the children out before wrath. Does that mean we don't experience somewhat of the great tribulation? It appears that there is tribulation that happens, but we can't judge how much of it. No, but the tribulation is not for the church. The tribulation is for the world. Like right here. So in other words, but he says, we are not appointed to wrath. So when wrath begins to fall on the earth, I believe the church will be gone. I believe the church will be taken away at that time.
What's wrath?
And God,
unbelief is not wrath.
Only God knows where that is. It's all, and if you're like me, you're going on the first load. When Jesus comes, I'm going. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus comes, I'm not going to wait until later. Oh, no, thank y'all. It's like that guy with the flood, you know, and God, he got to the pearly gates and asked him why he didn't take the policeman or the boat or the helicopter that God sent to get him off the roof of his house during the flood, you know. He said, what are you doing here? I was waiting for you to save me, God. Well, I sent the policeman, and I sent a guy in a boat, and I sent a guy in a helicopter, and you didn't, you know, do anything. So it's like, you know, God sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? God sent people. He sends you to tell people about the Lord, right? So God does send people. Amen. All of that to say this is not to create confusion, but to create hope. Amen. So over there in Matthew, when he said, as it is in the days of Noah, so it will be at the days of the coming of man. What does that mean? It means, he said, people are marrying, giving in marriage, watching the internet, buying stuff on Amazon. You know, just things are just going on like normal. Now all of a sudden, what? I can't snap anymore. You know, anyway, somebody snap for me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. There you go. That's when Jesus is coming like that. Right? Let's try it again. Ready? All right. So the day of the coming of the Son of Man will be that fast and that unexpected, you know. I mean, to think about waking up in the morning or thinking about kind of coming home, driving home in rush hour traffic, you know. Whatever it might be, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We'll practice the shout in a minute, Andrew. We'll practice the shout.
Hallelujah.
All right, so chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 37. No, it's impossible. There is no 37. Here it is, 5 through 13. Chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So now, if you looked, we looked at Matthew where he said everything was just kind of going along as normal. But here he says what was going on behind, what was going on with everybody. He's telling you what was going on with everybody in the time of Genesis, right? So he says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Wow, that's a lot. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. He was sad he'd done it. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah fathered 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark. And he told him how to make it. All right? So as it was in the days of Noah, a good friend of mine, a guy named Tom Autry, wrote a song back during the 70s and 80s. And God said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so it shall be. And as it is today. How is it today? I mean, we've had evil all kinds of ways, all kinds of times, right? I mean, you had all kinds of crusades going on in the name of Jesus. People killing other people in the name of Jesus. Jesus never told you to go kill anybody in his name. Amen. It was done for politics, you know. We had people killing all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. But it's all political. But they hate God. They don't want to be told what to do. They're like a little 5-year-old and they're just like me. I don't want to be told what to do. Because I think I know better. But you know what? Jesus knows better. And Lot, you're in Genesis, turn over to chapter 19. Yeah, I get ahead of myself. You know, I'm going to say one more thing here about Genesis chapter 7. You can just let me say it. Genesis chapter 7:16 says, "And they that went into the ark went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." You know, when they went into the ark, God shut him in. You know, God shut the door of the ark? God shut him in. You know, when you get into the presence of Jesus, when you are received Jesus, God shuts you in. He puts you in and shuts the door. Amen? Now, I guess if you'd have had a mind to, you could get up to where he put that window, you know, up in the very top, and you could try to jump out or something. You know, but when God shuts you in, you have no fear of falling out. You have no fear of falling out. Amen? I want you to know that. You have no fear of falling out of the presence of God. Because all of your sin has been forgiven. Your sin, the power of sin is destroyed, and your sin has been forgiven. What's your sin? Unbelief. Your sin is watered up into one thing, unbelief. Trust Him. Verse 22 of that same chapter, Genesis 7, "And all whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land," everybody else, everybody who was left outside that ark, died. They died. Now back over in 19, like I was saying, Genesis 19, like I promised you. So Lot, if you look about verse, he has two angels that came to town. I'm just going to tell you the story. I don't want to take up too much of the time. Had two angels come in because God had told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot had ended up down in that town. That's kind of like one of the towns that we got today, isn't it? It's a town of wickedness and evil, and a town full of the wickedness of the world. And so God sent two angels down there to get Lot and his family out of there. Abraham had negotiated down to 10 people. Well, if 10 righteous are found in that town, would you spare it? If 10 righteous, he promised his friend. He said, if 10 righteous could be found, I'll spare the town. Well, guess not. Didn't happen. Weren't 10. There was only 4. Is that Lot and his wife and his two daughters? You know, and if you want to count the man of the whole household, there was only one. And so God sends the angels down there, and the men of the town try to sleep with them, with these angels. They're handsome dudes, good-looking guys, you know. And these men try to get them. Bring them out that we may know them. Somebody might say, well, they just wanted to shake your hand. Then why did Lot say, hey, I've got two daughters here who are virgin daughters who I'll give to you. Just leave these men alone. Well, why would he say that if all they wanted to do was shake their hand? It's not true. These guys were homosexual men. I said it on tape. Praise the Lord. And they, homosexuality is a sin. If they'd have received Jesus, if they'd have cried out to God for mercy, God would have given them mercy right then. You know, God would have done it right then. It's just whatever the sin was. It might have been some other sin. Maybe it was some other sin. It could have been. But in this case, homosexuality is what it was. It was given over to that life. It was given over. Our society is being given over to this lifestyle, isn't it? Have you seen that? I mean, you know, everybody's going to celebrate a pride flag tomorrow, today, this month, the whole month. Took God's rainbow, put it on a flag, and called it homosexual. You can't do that. So God is saying, okay, but that wasn't the only sin going on in the world. I mean, there's a lot of other sin just carrying on. But it's when you rebel against God, you get off into all other kinds of rebellion. Amen? Drugs, you know, all kinds of things. Immorality of all kinds. So here they are, and then all of a sudden these angels are grabbing Lot, pulling him back in the house, and then they struck these guys with blindness, and then they said, "Pack your bags. Don't even pack a bag. It is like get out of the house. We're getting right now." So they got out, and they escaped out of the city, and God destroyed the city. God destroyed the city. But when those angels came, and that night the city was gone. Remember Noah and the ark? When the rain came, it was sudden. Those people didn't know. Everything just going on as things go on. Same thing is true of Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Things were just going on. They were just, you know, doing the money changing, watching television, just carrying on. And all of a sudden, the end of the world came. Let's look over to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. To 1,000 of his lords. This is a big party. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine and commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, the king, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Okay, so he's got all the sacred vessels from the temple of God that it's actually his grandfather. Belshazzar is actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. And of course, Babylon came in and took Jerusalem. And when Babylon came in to take Jerusalem, it was because God let them come in and take Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem had gone wicked. Jerusalem had forsaken the Lord and the commandments of God. And this was a punishment on Jerusalem. Or it just, you know, when you let down what God told you to do, you open yourself up to all kinds of death and all kinds of destruction. It's kind of like the United States of America. You quit worshiping God, you've let yourself go into all manner of destruction. Amen? So what do? We pray. We pray and we give ourselves to God. We repent. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, it said, "If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." What? Humble themselves. pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Well, that's four things you can't even do on your own. It's got to be the power of God. You cry out to God. Then will I hear from heaven, will heal their sick, heal their land. Okay? I'll hear from heaven. He's going to deliver you. Amen. So, this, but if they'll do that now, but they didn't do that. They didn't do that. God continually kept going back and back. Read over Psalm 107, and you'll find out. You know, well, they fell into wickedness, and then God punished them. And then they cried out, and then God had mercy on them, and then they did it all over again. That Psalm 107, it happens about five times. As you read through that psalm, it's as they, and God just, you know, finally they just, you know, wouldn't turn. And so Babylon came in, got them. Then, of course, you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who he defied God, and he got sent to the backyard, the back 40. He lost his mind, and he lost his kingdom for about, 7 years? And he was sent out to the pasture. And then God brought him back. And he recovered his mind. And then he commanded all the nation of Babylon to worship the God of Daniel. Amen? To worship the God of Daniel. He said, behold, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your kingdom. And then when you come back, you're going to worship God. Well, that's what he did. That was in chapter 4. Now in chapter 5 of Daniel. Chapter 4 of Daniel, chapter 5. And then afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar got up and made a speech. He did a document. He said, everybody's going to worship the God of Daniel. You know, he made testimony. Then here's his grandson. Went out and decided he's going to get all the gold and silver from the temple of God that his grandfather originally took when God sent him to take Jerusalem. And now, hey, we're going to have a party with this stuff. We're going to have a party with the gold and silver vessels. You know, we're going to make fun of God. Treat him lightly. Treat him poorly. And so he took those goblets and cups and such. And then verse 3 says that they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God. This is Daniel 5:3. And was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. They praised all the gods but God. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote opposite the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. Oh, no, no. Read verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed. He was partying hardy there until this. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts were troubled in him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote against one another. Boy, his knees were knocking. He was a scared puppy. What's going on here? All right. Now let's look down at verse 22. Now, so the story here, of course, as we carry on, was that they tried all their astrologers and all their wise men, and they couldn't tell anything. They didn't have anything to say. Their knees were knocking too. They didn't understand any of it. And so they called. And then the king's wife says, hey, wasn't there a guy who was a very important fellow back during your grandfather's reign? And he could tell dreams and everything like that. Maybe he can help us out. So they called for Daniel. Daniel come hobbling in. You know, I don't know. He might have been in good shape. You know, remember he used to know how to eat vegetables and stay in good shape, you know? So he might have been in great shape. So here he is. And in, so they called Daniel in, and Daniel, you know, is going to tell them what the thing says. And so verse 22, if you'll look at it, is chapter 5 of Daniel. And you, his son, O Belshazzar, and it is, by the way, his grandson, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. He told all about the story about Nebuchadnezzar going out to the back 40 and having losing his mind and coming back and giving the glory to God. He says, now you knew all this, little boy, Mr. King. But you've lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you and your lords and your wives and your concubines and have drunk wine in them. And you've praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and of iron and of stone, which see not, neither hear nor know. And the God in whose hand your breath is and whose are all your ways have you not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this is the writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many, tekel, uparshin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So he said there that very first thing. It says, this is the interpretation that God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Again, God brings these things. I mean, this is a party tonight. It could be a party tonight in the White House or somewhere in the United Nations, maybe. Could be a party somewhere where they're not giving the glory to God. You remember King Herod. When he did not give glory to God. What happened to King Herod?
Worms ate
him. Yeah, he fell down dead.
Well, that's a way to go. And
worms ate
him. Having worms eat you. You know, don't want to be doing that. He didn't give glory to him. Why? Because he did not give the glory to God. And here, he says in verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Oh boy, Daniel's going to get to be the third ruler in the kingdom. Number one, he doesn't care about it. Number two, what's fixing to happen in the next verse? Didn't last long. We're going to make you third ruler in a kingdom that's about to last for about an hour. Verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That night, what did it say? That night. All three of these stories we've read today just emphasize the suddenness with which God will change a kingdom.
And the certainness
by which God will change a kingdom when God does not get the glory. Because He alone is worthy. Jesus is coming, and He could come any time. We could not be, there's scriptures, you know, when is Jesus coming? He says the Father has those things in His own mind over in Acts chapter 1. He says, you know, remember how the disciples were, hey, man, now Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has placed in His own authority. But you shall receive power. After that, he just moved on. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. So that's who we are. Amen. We're His witnesses, right? That's who we are. You are not. Come on. Work it up, you guys. Get your witness hat on. Get your classes under your belt for being witnesses. No, you are my witnesses. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You're like a lamp. And it's shining out of your eyes and your ears and your nose. And, you know, you're given light every place you go. Well, I just hadn't worked that hard. No. Quit trying to tell, hey, you hadn't done one thing or another. It's not about you, is it? It's about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And Jesus is coming soon. He said, I don't want you to have you ignorant. I don't want you... Ignorance also it kind of perpetuates assumptions and silly ideas too, doesn't it, sometimes? So Paul says here, I don't want you ignorant. Here's how this is going to happen. Now, boom, boom, you know, period, over, out. That's how it's going to happen. So from now on, just go preach the gospel. I don't want you ignorant about how the coming of the Lord is. He's going to come. And he's going to come with the trump of God, with a shout, as the east is from the west, the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so he comes and he takes us all away. First the dead in Christ rise, and then you and I who remain will be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I just thought you'd enjoy hearing about the suddenness of the coming of the Lord. And that, you know, these people weren't standing around in Noah's day, you know, they weren't even paying attention to Noah. You know, it's like, it doesn't tell you that, and now I'm sure Noah was telling people, hey, repent, you know. Well, he doesn't say that he was. You know, we like to think, okay, he was the greatest evangelist ever. It doesn't say that he was. It says that they just kept going until the day that the flood came. Like nothing was changing. Amen. Preach the gospel. Be instant, in season and out of season. Because you don't know what day the Lord is coming. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask you today to show us who to talk to, where to preach, where to teach, who to minister to. Father, we thank you that you make us vessels fit for your, those vessels not fit for evil, but those vessels which are fit for your use. And Father, fill us with your new wine and use those vessels. Use us to declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are, that those of us who have opportunity, if we're living in a place that can bring in righteous rulers, as we prayed for today, Father, let us bring them in so that we have more time and more ability to share the gospel, and so that the righteous continue to will rule as long as they can. But God, you are coming, and you will redeem the earth by your appearance. And we just give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I was...